It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light, and don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout Pennsylvania. It's time for quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. And week five of football's in the books. Now it's time to get ready for week six. No better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. And to add to the excitement of week six, DraftKings Sportsbook is bringing back their can't-miss offer. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new users the chance to receive a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. So you need to download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code KSN when you sign up and get up to $1,000. That's code KSN to get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000 for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. I'm Jim Galante, along with Greg Pickle. Greg, this is our last week of off-season. Next week, we will be previewing Penn State, Indiana. So I'm going to take this opportunity to do our season preview with you. Let's start with this. You're already on record as saying an 8-1 prediction. Season hasn't started yet. I'm giving you a last chance to change your mind.
Well, Jim, I think I'm all good with keeping my prediction the way it is. I haven't learned anything over the last couple of weeks to change my mind, I guess. The toughest part about all of this, and it doesn't matter if you're talking season preview is in the first couple of the games or the full season or whatever. The toughest part about this, Jim, is that we have not had eyes on these guys since the Cotton Bowl. And so usually we could tell a little bit more about who has gotten bigger between spring practice and summer camp and how the offense is looking. You know, there's so many telling memories I can think of being in a practice or being there on game day, and you can see the body language and the reaction of the coaches and the players, and you can tell when they're having an off practice, or you can tell when they've installed something new and they really think it's going to work, you know, and you can pick up on which guy that might be a second team is getting more first team reps. And, you know, some of that stuff you can report on, some of it you can't, based on the rules and kind of the give and take of letting the media into things like practice and pregame versus, you know, not having that access. So not always does it make it to the public eye before that game starts. But, you know, you would be able to see and learn a lot about just being in front of these guys and how they look and how they're feeding off each other and all of that. And obviously with the pandemic, there's a lot of precautions in place. One of those being that they're not going to have a bunch of outsiders anywhere near the program for practices and things like that, at least not at this point in time. So we have not looked at these guys eye to eye or anything other than Zoom since the Cotton Bowl. And so I think that's the biggest challenge when it comes to predicting what this team is going to be in 2020, is that you're basing it all off of speculation and paper. And obviously no one wins games. No one, you know, speculation and paper don't dress on Saturday. So I guess that's the toughest part is, you know, Sean Clifford could be suddenly the most accurate passer in the country. We're going to have no idea. Conversely, Penn State could have lost all of its touch in terms of pass rushing, and we wouldn't know that either. So it's going to be a lot of learning, not just for observers, but also obviously the other teams come the come the first weekend of the season, because you're going to get a better feel for where some of these guys are, maybe who some of the surprises are, and so on and so forth. So to me, that's the biggest adjustment that we're going to have this year when discussing this team, is that we're only going to get a chance to see them unless something changes on Saturday. And those 4 hours are going to be very important to get a feel for, especially early on, where this team can go.
One of the big variables with this team is the changeover in the coaching staff. They also did not have the benefit of spring practice together. They also didn't have the benefit of those out-of-conference games where some of them are nothing more than a glorified scrimmage. You're going to shoot right into Big Ten conference action. What we have had with the coaches, though, is throughout the summer, we've had those Zoom media meetings. What have you taken in from meeting the new coaches? I realize it's over Zoom, but what takeaways have you gotten from them?
Yeah, I mean, with Phil Troutwine and Taylor Stubblefield, you can tell that they did it at a high level, and you can tell that that experience is really something that's going to transfer over to their guys. You know, I wrote about this recently, but it's not meant to be a shot at Jarrett Parker and Matt Limegrover. It just isn't. I know it could come off that way, but that's not the intention. But my point here in saying this is that you can tell these guys just understand what it takes to get to the next phase of your career, which of course is the pros, and you do that by being a very good college player, and both of these guys were. And you can just get the sense that that ability and that background really transfers into the coaching style and coaching points that both of those two guys have. So I really think you're going to see an improvement with those units just simply because of the way they're coached. And again, it's not that the other guys were doing it wrong. I just think that when you did it yourself at a high level, and Matt Limegrover and Jarrett Parker were both fine in college, but the two guys that replaced them were just a little bit better production-wise. And so, I think that makes a huge difference. They have a winning background playing, and now they have transferred it to coaching. So I've just been really impressed with those two guys. John Scott Jr.'s one I just don't have a good feel for yet. We've only talked to him a couple of times, Jim, since he was hired, and obviously he was hired a little bit later than the rest, and so on and so forth. So, I mean, we're still getting the feel for him. I know, obviously, Brent Pry has spoken very highly of him every time he's been asked. Of course, he's going to, because basically hired him as a guy who's been around for a long time. But that familiarity, obviously, is going to help with his transition. And then, you know, Kirk Soraka, he just is like a mad scientist almost. He has some of that Joe Moorhead in him, where he believes in his system. He believes he can mold it to what best fits this team, which of course is going to be using the tight ends more and using the running backs more than maybe he did at Minnesota, because that's where his personnel strengths are, or at least that's where they're at going into the season. So he's the guy too who I think really sees his plan, sees his vision for it, can translate it to the players, and then make sure that they're doing it out on the field on game day. So he's going to call plays from up in the box, so he won't be on the sideline. And, you know, I know some Penn State fans have thought that back, you know, in previous years, the coordinator should be on the sideline, and they're going to let him stay upstairs and, get a feel for things up there. And based on how he had a feel for what Penn State's defense was doing and how Minnesota could exploit it last year, I think you have to be okay for that for now. But yeah, I like all the hires they made. I know that sounds, I don't know. And maybe if we could have seen more, we'd have more critiquing to do at this point. But all we have right now is words of those guys and of their players. And all the players seem to be very happy with the coaches that have come in this offseason.
One of the other things that I found when these coaches meet the media, it's hard to tell just from that, oh, he's a great coach, because of how my reaction to how he was with the media. But what you do get a feel for is how their level of confidence in what they're doing and their ability to communicate. I think you and I discussed this last year when special teams coach Joe Lorig met the media, and I thought it was going to be the most boring media thing because it was special teams, you know. I ended up finding out, learning more, and felt so good about the way he communicated that I felt, okay, I think that's a really good coach. I had that same reaction with Phil Troutwine. I had that same reaction with Kirk Soraka. Do you find there's a correlation between that ability to communicate with the media and their abilities as a coach?
Yes, I'm sorry, Jim. You caught me between sips of water, and I was not prepared for you to throw it that way, my way, so quickly. The wonders of virtual radio. But yeah, I do. Again, I think, and you make a great point about Joe Lorig, and I remember the same thing with Joe Moorhead. And then when I was standing there listening to Phil Troutwine, Kirk Soraka, and Taylor Stubblefield talk, and then later to some extent with John Scott Jr., but you just, again, you got a sense that these guys just had a way of putting their coaching style in front of the play. I guess I'll explain it like this. If you can spend 10 minutes with us guys in the media who aren't the brightest bulbs, I mean, I'll just go ahead and say that, and you can teach some things and get some points across, and then 6 months later, Jim, when we're talking to their players, they're using those same talking points, and you can only imagine how much they've sunk into these guys who are, you know, clearly experts at, and perfectionists of their craft. So you can only imagine how good that must feel for the coaches, and the players must feel good because, again, these guys have won at a high level. They have produced at a high level. And they know that their coaches are invested in helping them do the same. So I think that makes all the difference in the world. And I think the players have really responded well to these guys.
All right. You predicted an 8-1 season. I would consider that a very successful season. What does this team need to do to reach that 8-win mark in the regular season?
Yeah, I mean, it has to start fast. And again, cliche, I know. But you don't have much time in this pandemic shortened season. And guess what? It could become even shorter. Who knows? I mean, we've seen issues now pop up with the NFL, Jim, where teams have had games delayed and moved to different parts of the week, and no one's forfeited yet, but it feels like that's inevitable, and it probably is inevitable at the Big Ten level, too, and the college football level, too. So the more wins you get early on, the better off you're going to be. That, of course, goes for any season, but certainly this one where you never know when the rug's going to be ripped out from under you. So I think that's number one. Number two, they have to be able to run Kirk Soraka's offense with a precision that maybe was absent last year in Ricky Ronnie's system. So I think that's going to be a big key to all this, is making sure they just don't take Kirk's offense, blend it with what Penn State does well, and go from there. But that this thing requires precision, it requires accuracy, and if Sean Clifford and the receivers and the offensive line, the backs and the tight ends all can't get on the same page, they're going to struggle out of the gate. And I don't think they have time that, you know, to do that. And then this defense must, you know, find a leader with Micah Parsons gone, and there are some clear candidates, but they're also starting some pretty young guys across the board. But to me, Jim, the two areas we need to see this group be better is third down pass rushing. To me, got to be able to get off the field when it matters, not just when, you know, it's great to back a team up early, but if you can't get the job done late in the drive, it doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot. And then pass defense too, you know, obviously giving up the big explosive play was something that hurt these guys a lot last year. As Sean Clifford said, you know, it wasn't 10, 12, 15 plays a game that ruined their chances of having a better record last year. It was one or two here and there in just a couple of games that really had them, you know, had basically helped turn a possible win into a certain loss. So I think that's the three areas you have to watch for. And then with special teams, of course, just continue to be consistent. And as Joe Lorig says, I think they have to try and continue to change the game in a positive way.
All right, very quickly, in the time we have left, what's your bold prediction for the season?
Bold prediction for the season in 20 seconds or less would be that Penn State actually does complete a full season of 8 games plus 1. And I know that sounds maybe like a cop-out, but there's a lot of talk right now about this thing not maybe getting to the finish line. I do think it will, Jim.
All right. We all want to see that, Greg. Very good. And we look forward to it. Next week, we're going to be talking about Indiana. All right. Stick around now. Quarter number 3, we get to ask Greg.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports, and I'd like to introduce you to our new partners at Forged-Legends.com, makers of solid one-piece cast aluminum gifts. Forget the bumper sticker. For the real enthusiast, you need to go to Forged-Legends.com. Front plates, license plate frames, and hitch covers. Choose from many patriotic themes, or even show your pride with your favorite team's colors. All come with a lifetime guarantee and are manufactured right here in Central PA. Be sure to check them out. That's Forged-Legends.com, and use code KSN at checkout. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and get in on all the football action. Use code KSN when you sign up to get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.